is pouring up the oil. He's pouring up the oil. He's pouring out the oil. It's the oil of joy. It's the oil of gladness. Some people are so religious, they have no clue what's going on. Like a Canadian goose lost in a thunderstorm. What do you think happened on the day of Pentecost? What do you think happened on the day of Pentecost? Somebody said, what is this? This is that. This is not new, but it's for every single one of you. Come here, both of you, come here. Come down here. Come on. Come down here. Come, come, come. Is she with you? Huh? Yeah, well, then come down here. Fire! Fire! Jesus. Woo. They're from the United Kingdom. If ever a group of people need it, it's the United Kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me a microphone. Get me the microphone up there. Come over here. Tell the people what's happening. Thank you. Supernatural flood of the glory of God will flood through your church and through your region. Hallelujah. 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 Don't try to work out what the Lord's doing. Just open your heart and receive. Don't try to work it out, run through your brain up here. Just open your heart. Tell the Lord, do whatever you want to do in me. The Lord's touching different people here, but he can touch you too. You don't have to have hands laid on you. You just have to open your heart. And he'll come and he'll touch you. Because he'll first do a work in you before he can do a work through you. You can't expect him to do a work through you until he's done it in you. See, when the fire revival comes, you carry it. It's like the prophet's bones. They threw a dead man into an open grave, landed on the prophet of God's bones, and the dead man come back to life. So you carry that. You don't lose it. You carry it. It carries. John 4, he spoke about a well of water spring up to everlasting life, speaking of salvation. John 7, talk about out of your belly will flow rivers. A river is much bigger than a well. You can get a lot done with a well, but you can get more done with a river. Out of your belly will flow rivers. Didn't say out of your head will flow rivers. The Spirit of God doesn't flow out of your head. It flows out of your innermost being. The head is good. It's there for a reason. Like when you should cross the street. That you should get up, you know, go to the restroom, brush your teeth, put your clothes on. It's certain things your head are good for. But not this. Your head's not good for this. Your head is not good for the things of the Spirit of God.
Oh.
Over the years, we've had the best minds try to decipher this. I even was at one place preaching, and the preacher walked up while I was preaching and went and looked at my notes. I've had them steal my notes. One preacher stole my Bible and 156 sermons in my folder in a back room in a preacher's room, stole it trying to find the key. But it wasn't in my notes. Oh, hallelujah. We've had people tell us that your ministry won't work in this area. I remember when we went to Cairo, Egypt. They told me, said, now when you get to Egypt, the Egyptians will not respond. I tell you, I'd never heard such rubbish. We walked in there and the power of God hit that place. And they carried them out of the tent. They came in there looking like sad camels, but they were carried out. Touched by the power of God. When we went to Korea, they said, now the Koreans will not respond to the ministry. I was with 2,500 Methodist preachers in Seoul, Korea. Methodists. And I walked out and I just said to them, I said, hello. I'm so glad to meet you and be here with you. And they fell out and they all started laughing. I was so shocked. I thought, my God, I said, hello. That's all I did. And they were gone. When we went to Japan, they said the Japanese people would not respond. 2,000 Japanese got hit by the power of God, started running around. And they were running the room. I never seen anything like a Japanese flying over the chairs. So that's all bogus. That the Holy Spirit won't move here, won't move there. He moves everywhere. There's hungry people. He moves everywhere that there's thirsty people. Because the hearts of people are the same. Forget the nationality, the languages. The hearts are the same. Somebody said, yeah, but this is ridiculous. So is going to dip 7 times in the Jordan ridiculous? So is spitting in the clay and putting on a man's eyes and telling him to go wash in the pool of Siloam? Yeah. So is filling up water pots to the brim. Expecting there to be wine. So is taking 5 loaves and 2 fish and attempting to feed the masses. It's all ridiculous. So is trying to build a boat on dry land. Everything God does, everything He does. So is walking on the water. So is calming the storm. Everything He does. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I tell you, the Holy Ghost is falling all over this place tonight. like the woman with the issue of blood. We press in. We press in. Like the blind man waiting patiently. We press in through the crowd.
Through the crowd.
Then suddenly.
Jesus came and rescued me.
Then suddenly
a touch from heaven.
Jesus came
and set me free.
Oh, like the woman
with the issue of blood,
we press in. Like the blind man waiting patiently. We press in
through the crowd.
Then suddenly
a touch from heaven.
Jesus came
and set me, rescued me.
Then suddenly
a touch from heaven.
Jesus came
and set me free.
I want to pray with my brothers and sisters from Mexico. If you come, just come. When I walked by, I heard this once, I heard it again, and I heard it a third time. The Lord said, "Fear not for your life or your safety. For my hand is upon you, and I shall be about you as a wall of fire. No harm and evil shall come nigh unto you. My glory shall protect you. And I will speak unto you in night hours, and I will speak unto you before, and shall warn you, and you shall take another route, and you shall avoid the attack of the enemy, and you shall be a step ahead. For the devil does not control your destiny, but God does. And the Lord knew all things when he called you. And I shall make a way for you. And my hand shall be upon you and is upon you." Strong. 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 Be it about him strong. Jesus. That's it right now. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Like a fire. Like a mighty fire. It's like what God said to Joshua. He said, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we had a story come to us out of Vietnam, and this happened during the days of the Viet Cong. If you know anything about what happened, they would go in and take out whole villages. Anybody knew that that took place? Three people, all right. And this comes from a remote village in Vietnam during the time of the major conflict. Missionaries went there 25 years later, and they walked into this village and they said to them, we are missionaries and we've come to tell you about the God who sent his son, and his name is Jesus. And the whole village were laughing uncontrollably beside themselves and slapping each other and going totally berserk. And the missionaries were offended. They said, no, no, we come with serious. This is serious. We've come to tell you about the God who sent his son, and his name is Jesus. And you cannot laugh like this. And you must calm down. This is serious. This is not a joke. And they tried to tell him again, and then the whole village was berserk. They were high-fiving each other, running around, slapping each other, laughing, falling on the ground beside themselves. And the missionaries got really stern with them, rebuked them harshly. And they said, no, you don't understand. They said, 25 years ago, the Viet Cong came in and lined us up to kill us. And they were going to mow the whole village down. But there was a little businesswoman, Vietnamese businesswoman, that had gone on a journey. She'd been to Taiwan on business. And as she was in the taxi cab, they were driving along, and she saw the cross on top of a church building, and she said to the taxi driver, what is that? Plus sign, she called it. She didn't know what it was. And they said, oh, that's the people that worship the God who sent his son. That's all she knew. Wow. So here they are in the village lined up. The Viet Cong have come in. They're going to mow them down as they had other villages. And she screamed at the top of her voice, the God who sent his son, save us. That's all she knew. And there was a flash of light. And the fire of God fell. And the Viet Cong dropped their weapons and ran. And left their village. Never ever came back to their village. So the people began to worship the God who sent his son. For 25 years, they didn't know his name, but they worshiped him. They sang to him. They praised him. They prayed to him. But, and they were asking, what is his name? We want to know his name, the name of the God who sent his son. What is his name? And when they came and said, we've come to tell you about the God who sent his son, his name is Jesus, they went, that's his name. For 25 years, they didn't know what his name was. But they worshiped him without knowing what his name was. I have a missionary friend of mine. He's based in Ottawa, Canada. Some of the Canadians know Bill Prankett. Ministers all up in the Arctic. I was just in Ottawa and then went up to Wiscagnish in the Cree territory of Quebec. I'm going to be up in Baffin Island the second part of the year with the Inuit. And I believe I might have shared this with you before, but this totally blew me away what he told me, because he and his wife, I mean, they're 65 years old, you know, but they go into territory that nobody in their sane mind would even do. I mean, they go into Siberia, they go into the Russian, they get in a Russian tank and they drive 46 hours in the tundra. You can't get by plane, no cars, no boat, nothing. Can you imagine two people in their 60s, not early 60s, second half 60s, dressed up, minus 40 degrees, whatever, in a Russian tank. They were not made as luxury vehicles. And they ride 46 hours. Because Google Earth has now allowed us to go and see where the settlements are. And they found this village and they felt led of the Lord to go. It's like they were pulled to this village. And so 46 hours to get there. And when they pulled up at the village, the head man of the village come out and he said, what are you doing here? They didn't see anybody, no strangers come. And they said, well, we felt to come to tell you, we're missionaries, about the God in heaven that sent his son, his name is Jesus. And the head man looked, he said, what took you so long? And they were shocked. What do you mean? What do you mean took us so long? They said, well, we have been asking that someone would come and tell us about him, because they said we knew that there had to be a God, because every night we'd go out, we'd see the lights and the stars and everything. And so we, before we would go to sleep, we would go out and we would look up into the heavens and we would shout out there, if you're real, if you're out there, send somebody. And they were doing that for 18 months. And then this tank pulls up. And out gets this couple. What took you so long? There's 7 billion people on this planet. There are people that have never even heard. Yeah, you might not believe this, but even here in the Metroplex, there are people that have never, ever heard. Somebody said, that's impossible. No. And I watch Christian television. Actual fact, only 1% of the American people watch Christian television. Thankfully. Only 1%. They don't watch it. These are the statistics. I don't care what they tell you the numbers are. Only 1%. All the preachers are fighting for the same 1%. Churches that are never, ever, people never, ever set foot in. Prayer was out of schools, you know, when they took that out. So they're not even taught. There's a, from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, you just have to work it out. We've got people here that never, ever heard. Never heard. Don't know. We were up in Rhode Island, in Massachusetts, that area with the Great Awakening, and our team went over. They were in Providence. And on the street, at a bus stop, two Chinese, a man and a woman, got off the bus. And they went right up to them and said, excuse me, has anyone ever told you God loves you, a great plan for your life? If you died today, we would spend eternity. And they looked at them and they said, we are brand new. We just flew in from China. We came to America to learn about God. And somebody at the bus station asked them and, of course, led them to Christ, right? They landed in America and got saved. They landed in America and gave their life to the Lord. They landed in America and gave their life to Christ. Los Angeles is a city of minorities. Los Angeles is not white, black, and Hispanic. Los Angeles is multitudes of minorities. Vietnamese, Koreans, Chinese, Japanese, Russian. It's a city of minorities. There's not one majority in Los Angeles. Some would want to go as a missionary to Brazil. If you really want to, go to Boston. There's 500,000 Brazilians in Boston. You don't even have to go down to Rio. Somebody said, I feel called to Ethiopia. I want to go to Addis Ababa. You don't have to. Just go to Washington, D.C. There's 400,000 Ethiopians living in D.C. And the list goes on and on and on. 180,000 Russians living in Miami. America's not what you think. It is a melting pot of every tribe and every tongue. Florida alone has got 186 nations living in the state of Florida. We're now approaching 20 million population. 186 nations live in Florida. So to be a missionary, you don't have to have a passport. You just have to look outside your house. You just have to lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They're white under harvest. They're in your neighborhood. They're in your street. They just moved in there last week. They came from a foreign country. They came here. America's not what you think. You see, if God's touching us, why is He touching us? So we can just get blessed? No. He didn't touch them in the upper room so they could just get blessed. I had a preacher of a very large church tell me, he said, I never saw the correlation between Acts 2 and the harvest. He was a pastor of 10,000 member church, and I never did see the correlation between Acts 2, the upper room, and the power falling, and then the harvest of souls. I said, what Bible are you reading, bro? You never saw the correlation. I never saw the separation. The 120 in the upper room. According to the commandment of Jesus, go and tarry at Jerusalem. You'll be endued with power. After that, the Holy Ghost come upon you, and then you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That was the pattern for the early church. It's the pattern for the modern church. It's never changed. It's the same pattern. It has never, ever changed. And if the disciples that followed him, that walked with him, that talked with him, and that lived with him for 3.5 years, that saw the miracles at their own hands, had to go into that upper room to be empowered, then who do you think you are that you do not need to be empowered in the same way that they were empowered? And the power of God comes on you. Yes, you're going to be touched. Yes, you're going to be healed. Yes, you're going to be set free. Yes, you're going to be delivered. Yes, you're going to get blessed, but it comes on you for a purpose, for a reason. And if you do not allow the power of God that has touched you to work in you, to work through you. When you walk out of these doors, then you are no different to the drug addict or the alcoholic that just comes to get his next high. And there are many spiritual drug addicts and alcoholics that hang around the things of God, wanting to feel the next touch or whatever, but they're going to do absolutely nothing with it. People that have had their hands laid on them so many times, they've gone bald. But they're not going to do anything with it. Why do you want God to touch you? Somebody said, I want more. Why would you want more? You haven't done anything with what you have. Somebody said, I want more. I need more anointing. For what? You're not doing anything with the anointing that you have. What do you want it for? For what? There's a reason. There's a purpose. Yes. And it's all linked to the gospel. It's all linked to the Great Commission, which is not the great suggestion. It's all about souls. It's all about the harvest. Somebody said, is that all that the gospel is about? I said, really? 100 years from now, that's about all that's going to be important. Where you live, how big your church was, how successful your ministry, it's really not going to mean anything. People in hell are not going to be commenting on the lobby of your church and the great coffee shop that you have. People in hell are not going to say, oh, I remember that moment when I went to the first church. And the lobby was beautiful. And one of the problems is that we've left this up to one or two or three preachers. And the devil knows that. So he isolates them and takes them out. And then the work of God is set back. But what about you? What will you tell him on that day when you stand before him? What will you tell him? What will you say to him? What will your answer be? What have you done with Jesus? What did you do with Jesus? Well, Lord, I would have done more, but the preacher. No. What did you do with Jesus? Well, Lord, I would have really obeyed, but no. What did you do with Jesus? Well, Lord, I really was going to go, but we couldn't get out of debt. No, what did you do with Jesus? Well, Lord, we were doing fine. Then we got the house. No. What did you do with Jesus? Somebody said, that's not my responsibility. Yes, it is. There are many that will stand on that day and will cry their eyes out because when they get to the other side, they realize they have nothing to show for their life on the earth. Nothing. They were selfish. They lived for themselves. All they did was think about themselves. And the Lord was so kind to them and so gracious to them and so merciful to them and blessed them beyond measure. But they never told another person about it. They never shared anything with anyone. How many in this place have been healed by the power of God? Wave your hand. You were sick at one time. You have an obligation to go tell the world that He heals. You have an obligation. How dare you? How dare you receive from His healing power and tell no one else about it? How dare you? What an insult to Calvary that you would even be a recipient of the healing grace and yet never tell another soul about it. Not only tell, but dispense it. Whether in the shopping center or the salon, the hairdresser salon, or whatever, getting your nails done, just grab that hand and say, I'm sticking on your head right now. God can give you a miracle right now. Come here, let me pray for you. God's going to get you set free from that drug addiction that has you right now. Somebody said, I'm not in the full-time ministry. Huh. What do you think the full-time ministry is? We've got an obligation. We have an obligation. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. That's why I tell our church, I tell them, I said, let me tell you, this week you lay hands on everything that moves. The last thing you ever want to do is tell your church they're not ready to do that. Right. Because neither were you when you started the ministry. You weren't really ready either. But somebody gave you a break. It's not in their readiness. It's in the name. It's in the name. I'll never forget. I went back to Singapore a few years ago, probably a little longer than a few now, maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago. God knows. Actually, it's longer. In 98, just before I went to Madison Square Garden. So it was a long time ago. 98 is a long time ago. How time flies when you're having fun. And I was in this church, and I began to talk about Asia, and I began to talk about the nations of Asia. And people began to weep all over the building. And I began to talk about India and Tibet and Mongolia and China, the nations of Asia, Indonesia. And then I said, if you feel the call of God to go to nations across Asia, would you come stand here? The people just got up and run down to the front. They were weeping. And the pastor jumped up. He said, can I say a few words? I said, sure, you're the pastor. He said, look, I know the people. He said, I know these all. He said, you guys are not ready. You're not ready. Well, there was no point in me doing anything then. It was the end of the service. I basically had wasted my time. See, in the back room, you ask the pastor, how long have you been preaching to these people? Well, 20 years. 20 years, and they're not ready. Wouldn't you or shouldn't you now resign the ministry if after 20 years of your ministry, they're not equipped? Wow. I've watched people come in 10 years ago that were, the fire of God hit them and they were gung-ho to go and they, oh, pastor, we're going to go. And I never discouraged them, nothing. I just give them a couple of guidelines and they said they feel the Lord. They go out and they go on for a month, come back, get a job again, didn't work out. And about 2 years later, they called me, pastor, we feel the fire. And I never discouraged them, nothing. Didn't say, oh, I remember what happened last time and my God, you'll fail. You know, never, nothing, just keep preaching the word. Keep preaching the word. Pastor, feel the God. Bless you. And they go off and come out. Now this time they go 2 months, come back, get another job. You know, didn't work out. And I've watched them do that. And now, after 9 years, they come to me and say, we feel the fire. We've got to go. And I didn't say one word. I didn't say that, but this will be the fourth time. I never said a word. I said, I believe you're right. And they went, and now they're going. And it's breaking through. And they called me from parts of the world and said, I went to this place and God told me to tell the farmer this. And then all heaven broke loose. And I said, I know you're on it now. I said, because before you were calling me to find out what to do. Now God's telling you what to do. And he said, thank you for being patient with me. Thank you for being patient with me, Pastor. Thank you for not telling me I couldn't do it. But you helped me and you encouraged me. And you know, and they just begin to find their feet. They begin, but this has been over a process of 10 years now. And now I look at them and tell them how proud I am of them and how excited I am for them. And they're going to obey God and do what God's called them to do. Because that's our job, to help people find their place. It's not going to take away from me. It'll never take away from me if the whole place empties and I have to go and fill it again. It'll never take away from me. I mean, Jesus had 12. Really, you'll find out you can only really work with 12. After that, it gets a little hectic. So if you've got more than 12, you got to have some things, but don't try to overextend yourself. Just find 12 that you put the fire of God in them and turn them loose. And they'll find 12 and they'll find 12 and they'll find 12 and it'll multiply and spread as the kingdom of God does. Can you say amen? Come here, brother. Stand right here. Close your eyes. Lift your hands. Fire! The fire of God. That's going right through you. Take that. It's yours. Hallelujah. Are you together? Come here, both of you. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm just following the Holy Ghost tonight. Just following the Holy Ghost. Fire! That's it right now. That's the fire of God coming on you right now. Take that. Woo! Paripo sapa tande ita. Heka po sobrobonde. Mindrosta. That's the fire of God on you right now. That's the fire of God on you right now. Pick him up. What do you do?
Well, I work for my dad.
You work for your dad. What do you do?
It's like construction.
You hang things. Well, there's a call of God in your life. There's a call of God in your life. How old are you?
22.
There's a call of God in your life. You feel that right now? Huh?
Yes.
What's that feel like? Huh?
It feels like my bones are on fire.
You what?
My bones are on fire.
Your bones are on fire, yeah. Fire! Fire of the Holy Ghost. Are you the dad? Mom, come here, both of you. Have you known the call of God's on his life? Huh? How long have you known that?
Since he was 15.
Since he was 15. What happened when he was 15?
God called him.
God called him.
Fixing to lose him. He ain't going to work for me no more.
Oh, you fixing to lose him. He ain't going to work for you anymore.
I've just lost him.
You think you've just lost him?
Oh, praise God.
You from Fort Worth? Fire. Fire! Fire of God. The fire of God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Jesus. 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 Wonderful, 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 Lord. Wonderful, 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 Jesus. Wonderful, 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 Jesus. Wonderful, 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 Jesus. Some of you have written yourself off. You said, oh, the Lord couldn't use me because of this and that. But God never uses you because of anything other than because he chooses to use you and because you choose to yield to him. If God was just running around looking for people that we thought were eligible to be used, there wouldn't be one person. So you need to get over yourself. You need to get delivered from yourself. Don't argue with God. The potter has the decision concerning the clay, not the clay concerning the potter. All the clay must do is yield. All the clay must do is yield. When God called us into the ministry, I didn't know the Lord would give us a controversial ministry from the standpoint of the joy and the attack that's come just with joy. Who would have believed? Who would have believed that it would be so contrary because of joy? Of all things. But it did has. But it has. But the Lord said to me, he said, if you'll allow me to do a work in the people, without trying to worry about what it looks like and what others think, then I will come and I'll have my way and I'll do my work. And it'll be accomplished. The work of heaven, the plan of heaven will be accomplished. Just like what happened to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, breathing out threatenings, and a great light shone from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? Later on, we know that it was Jesus that appeared unto him in the way. Later on, when Ananias went to him and laid hands on him so he could receive his sight, he said, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest. This young lady right here, come here. Now we'll pray for everybody here tonight. Please don't just come up. Let me follow the Holy Ghost, because otherwise you break me out of the flow. I'm just going with the flow. It's the fire of God. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire! Fire of God. Heaven. The same again, never the same again. Never the same again, never the same again, never the same again. What was interesting was when Ananias went to him at the command of the Lord Jesus, when God spoke to him, said, go, rise, go in the street, call straight, and quiet the house. He said to him, he said, I'm going to show him how many things he'll suffer for my name's sake. Which you think, well, that can't be New Testament. But he said, I'll show him how many things he will suffer. I mean, there's a part of suffering of the church. I'm not talking about sickness or disease or poverty and lack. I'm not talking about that, but this is suffering. The fellowship of Christ's suffering. It's only this American church that doesn't experience much of it, but our brothers and sisters in foreign countries that are dying for their faith on a daily basis are suffering for the cause of Christ. Some of them sit in rooms with no air conditioning and no windows and worship for hours with no music. Have one Bible and they tear the pages out and circulate it around so that they can memorize the scripture. And here, Americans have 8 or 9 or 10 Bibles and different translations, can't even memorize the Bible, don't even show up at church, don't even come with the Bible, don't even read the Bible. No, they've got to have a quick scan Bible, so they can read through more chapters in fewer time. Very little word content. Modern day Christian books that are nothing more than New York bestseller with a couple of motivational points with a few scriptures thrown in. And it's produced a weak a weak mind people. Not even strong spirit, but we just weak-minded, goofy people that can't even stand when the storms come and when the winds of adversity blow and when persecution come. They take the line of least resistance because they don't have it in them. They have no substance in them. They have no root in themselves. They endure for a little time. Oh, when persecution and affliction arises for the word's sake, they're offended. They grow resentful, indignant. They stumble and fall away. For their relationship is not with God, but with man. Their faith is through another, but not in Christ. Their faith is in their faith, but not in Christ. So all of this can only be wrought by the inward working of the Spirit of God. And that's not up to God. Somebody said, well, if God wants to, he knows where I am. He can come. He can do whatever he wants to do. He can come. That's fine. You can say that, but you have to seek him. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled. If you draw nigh to me, then he said, I will draw nigh to you. And then you cry out to him. You cry out on your bed. You cry out in the night hours. You cry out as you drive down the road. You cry out to him. And he will come. He will reveal himself to you, or he'll reveal himself in you, and then he'll reveal himself through you. Little measure of Jesus to you, little measure of Jesus in you, little measure of Jesus through you. Big measure of Jesus in you, big measure through you. Those that know their God will do exploits in his name. Those that know their God will do exploits in his name. Just go in this Sunday and turn things around in your service. Right during the worship, give the altar call. Mess everything up. Take the offering at the end. Throw the thing into a tailspin. Just flip the whole thing around. Shake them out. Move this side over that side because they all sit in the same pew. Just shake the whole thing up. Make them all. Just shake them all up. Just shake them all up. Get them out. When you pastors that are here, just tell them that you brought an evangelist and he looks like the pastor. And then do the work of an evangelist. How many pastors ever notice you go outside of your church and all heaven breaks loose? One. We're really doing it here, Fort Worth. How many notice you go outside your church, all heaven breaks loose? Go to foreign country. Three. Four. I'll say it again. Takes a while. We're in Texas. I mean, no, you go to a foreign field, all heaven breaks loose. You come home and you know, huh? Oh, there's another hand. Okay, now it's getting through now. Turn up the hearing aids. Okay. I want to tell you right now, the greatest move of God that we have in the last 15 years happens in our church, not outside our church. Happens in our church. The greatest moves of God that we've ever had happens in the church. So I don't go out there, well, they've heard it before. I pretend they don't know me. I pretend they never know to even know who I am. And I say it again and say it again and just say it again and just preach it and just turn loose of the anointing. So Somebody said, why? Why should I have to go hire somebody else to do my job? When after all, God called me to that city and called me to that region. So now I can't function, so I've got to get somebody from the outside to come and do my job for me because I'm like kind of, my hands are tired. Absolutely not. Adonik and I have ministered under the worst circumstances when in the natural we did not even feel like ministering. I can remember walking into a camp meeting, 8 days of meetings, and I said to Adonik, we've got many visiting preachers, let's turn them loose. You and I sit in the front row, and then I looked at her and said, absolutely not. I said, you're going first, I'm going second, we're going to smack this thing up the side of the head, and we're going to take the baton and we're going to run. We smacked it up the side there. The power of God smacked that place Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. By Wednesday, we were in the heavenly realms. And no one would have known that we were in one of the worst battles of our lives. But we smacked it loose. Yeah. Yeah. In the middle of the worst, we smacked it loose. Because if all the enemy has to do is put circumstances around you, he'll neutralize you every single time. You will have weekly circumstances that will come. But the anointing for your region, the anointing for your city, your town, your village, where you is in you. The power of God is in you. You stir it up. Stir up the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. You stir it up. You turn it loose. You remind yourself of the call of God to your town, your city, your village, your region. You remind yourself of why He called you there. And you stir up yourself, gird up your loins, stand up like a man, and go out there and do the works of God. Go out there and preach the gospel. Go out there and cast out devils and lay hands on the sick. And turn it loose. Oh, hallelujah. I believe I'm speaking to some pastors here tonight. Turn it loose. It's like the difference if you have a watering hose where you just turn a little bit and let it just leak out, or you just turn the thing on full. Just go in, turn the whole thing on full. Let the anointing on the inside of you just be released. I tell you, I feel something is going to happen in churches on Sunday. Something's going to happen in churches. How many pastors and leaders are here right now? Wave your hand at me. Wave your hand at me. Something's going to happen this Sunday in churches. I tell you, I feel it right now. I speak by the Holy Ghost. Some of you, my God, stir it up on the inside of you and turn it loose.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Pretend, I mean, if you get the results of the foreign field, pretend you're in a foreign field. Change up your platform, change the carpet, change everything, change the whole thing, or move the piano to that side, change the whole thing around so it looks different. Put on some different clothes. Shave your hair off. Do something. Make your, I mean, put yourself. Seriously, I'm telling you, you can't get into the tradition that the people are getting into because they come in there and sit like a blob on a pew and you walk out and preach like a blob in the pulpit. My God, stir yourself up. Grab a hold of the things of heaven.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Pastor Harold, am I telling the truth? You
tell the truth.
Is this the truth, Pastor? Oh, hallelujah. 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 Stir it up, my God. I do it often in our church. I said, now next Sunday, Evangelist Rodney is going to be with you. Pastor's taking time off. And the next week, I just come out there and smack the place. Their visitors that actually think that I'm gone. The pastor's gone and there's evangelists there. Seriously. You know, they don't know. And I talk I talk about Pastor Rodney and Evangelist Rodney, so they think it's two different people. Then the next time they come back, Say, well, Pastor's back today. How many, you know, glad I'm back. Everybody cheers. Say, was he rough on you last Sunday? We had one Sunday, you know, we had like a big biking thing, and I wore a biker outfit, rode a Harley in the, you know, years ago. And that night I was back in a suit, and a gentleman came and said, oh, Pastor Ronnie, I'm so glad to see you. I was here this morning. There was some biker dude here, preached. It was me. He didn't know. I said, did he do okay? He said, yeah, he did, but I'm so glad you're back. I never told him. I never said, brother, that was me. I never said a word. I said, well, I am. I'm back. The biker dude is gone. They didn't know. They didn't know. Thought it was two different people. Had no clue it was me. And we have a whole pastoral team. I often, people come up to me and call me one of our other pastors' names. Pastor David, thank you. And I go, can I help you? Can you tell Pastor? I say, I'll tell him. I don't have the heart to tell him they've got the wrong guy. You know, bless the heart. They didn't know it was me. So I'll be sure to tell him, sister, God bless you. And I say, I'll tell Pastor Ronnie, don't worry. It's Florida. People can't see further than four rows of chairs. They don't know who's that up there. By the way, I better tell you this. I got a call from my mom just before the service. And I said I was here with you. She said, please tell Pastor Bob and Joy that we love them so much. And she said, I always had fond memories of coming to Calvary Cathedral, you know, when they used to come. She's 84, you know. And just thought I'd tell you that. Hallelujah. Mom still comes to see me before every service. Comes up to the office and comes, sits and looks at me. It doesn't matter who's in the room. Politicians, generals, nothing. She walks right in there. I've come to check on my boy. She don't care who's there. Yeah. Mom, this is General so-and-so. Go, good. Mom, this is the mayor. Mom, this man's a senator. This one's, he's a congressman. Fine, I came to see you. Hallelujah. I feel the Lord challenging people here tonight to stir it up. I mean, dress your choir in African outfits so that they think you're in the bush or something. Put a thatched roof over the pulpit. Seriously. Have an African Congo drums beat when you walk out. Bring a couple of cows in on the side. Make it feel like you're in a village somewhere. You know what I mean? I mean, shake it up, you know. I mean, if you have great meetings in Australia, get a few kangaroos. Let them jump around the congregation. Have somebody play the didgeridoo in the background. Get a couple of people that look Aboriginal and let them run around. Hallelujah. 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 There's some of you that used to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. You quit. You don't even do that anymore. Stir it up. that some of you used to preach. You don't even do that anymore. You become dignified. You're now a teacher. Preach! So early. We're bleeding profusely from several arteries right now. My God, somebody plugged the hole. Tell the people the bus for the institution doesn't leave till another 30 minutes. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Put your hand on your belly right now. It's time to stir it up. Thank you. Foot. Yeah. Easier to move the foot. Jesus. If you have a choice of moving the body or the foot, just move the foot. Working hard. You keep drilling until you get it. Keep drilling until you get it. Sound like a pneumatic drill going on here. Get through some bedrock. To get to some water. The Bible said with joy, so you draw forth water out of the wells of salvation.